Hello everyone, welcome to the Pinken.com Norwich City podcast in a room. We are not in a podcast. Paddy, your instant reaction to that?
Delightful.
See how happy he is. My name is Michael Bailey. We've got Paddy here. Paddy Davitt, Chief Norwich City Writer for the Eastern Daily Press, Pinken and all that stuff. Sports Desk Pete, who's here. But you didn't see any of the game?
I saw the highlights on Match of the Day, but I was too busy working during the game.
But you don't really... I mean, just seeing the highlights on Match of the Day opens you up to a massive window of an analysis.
Exactly, and I followed your live coverage, so it was like I was there.
Attaboy, Pete. Attaboy. All right, then. Well, Norwich City went to Manchester City. They did not get defeated by a cricket score. They lost 2-1 due to an 89th-minute penalty from Yaya Toure and two rather ropey defensive mistakes. So, which feels worse, Pat?
Funnily enough, I did ask Sal McNeil that in the post-match. Did it feel worse than getting beat 6 at Newcastle? And I can't remember what he said because he was looking at me in quite an aggressive manner. Bless him, but he wasn't really happy, as you can imagine. I think that was probably more disappointing, just because they got so close, you know, a minute from time, and all that hard work, that excellent tactical approach, they all bought into it, the players, and it wasn't really Man City that beat them for me. It was one or two individual errors from their own that beat them, which is tough to take. And that was written all over his face, to be honest. So, yeah, for me, that was worse than Newcastle.
You agree, Pete?
No.
That's because you weren't there.
Surely you've got to be more positive having come away from the league leaders 2-1 rather than chipping 6 at Newcastle. I know the manner of defeat is gutting, but they can surely can come away thinking, right, we know how to play against the top teams away. And they scored 18 goals in the last three games, and to limit them to 2, and both of those are individual errors. There are some positives, Paddy.
Thanks, Pete. Pete, when you've been... No, I won't. I was going to say how many hours we were sat in a car last week, but that makes us sound ungrateful.
It was a long week. I mean, to the point where I think I wrote that Norwich had 5 consecutive defeats in all competitions now, but that's probably harsh on their cup game because they only lost on penalties, didn't they? But there we go. Ho-hum. Okay, well, I guess we should get stuck into the main incidents, which were 3 massive defensive errors that led to the 3 goals, 2 of which Manchester City got. The opener, cracking header from Nicolas Otamendi, who was pretty good on the afternoon. He's clearly a very good defender. As good as the header was, Ryan Bennett completely left him really from the set piece, and this is an issue because Ryan Bennett is supposed to be the defensive answer, Pad.
I'd like to know what the question is if he's the defensive answer. I'm afraid that's in his locker, you know. There's always a mistake in the guy, you know, because he doesn't play more often than not in his career, really. You know, go right back to when he first came in, he's never been the first choice centre back, has he? You know, and it might be injury that's intervened, which isn't in his remit. That's just unfortunate. But even when he's got a run, you always feel there's a lackadaisical moment, and that was typified for me on the corner. You know, he's basically detailed to mark a centre back, a fellow centre back, and his movement, he made him look like it was like he was marking Lewandowski, the way he just left him, and it's just a switch off, and you cannot do it at this level. And obviously, the more elite end of the league you play, the more exposed, because you're playing against better players, but you just cannot, because then it's for 65 minutes, all that work's gone out the window. And it's not, as I said, to reiterate what I said at the start, it's not because Kevin De Bruyne's gone past 5 players and stuck it in the top corner. It's because a corner's been swung in and he's got the run on him and it's a free header. Admittedly, it was a fantastic finish, but so avoidable. And I'm afraid for me, that is Ryan Bennett.
And it was a big shame given how much Alec Neil had gone on about how the first goal was so important in games, or it certainly had proven to be in a lot of Norwich's games so far this season. That was 67 minutes. Norwich were back level with 7 minutes to go, Pete. Joe Hart proving why he's just about still England number one goalkeeper with one of the greatest flaps. Well, what do you call it? It was a drop,
It was a catch and a drop, wasn't it? And I think he's probably grateful that Jerome put it in, because I think it was spinning in. I think you could see
he didn't have that cone goal.
The company in front of him was already had his head in his hands before the ball had even like got in. So yeah, he's always got one of those, hasn't he? And it's you just saw on the replay the sort of the cross that just swung in, and Jerome's not going to have an easier goal to score than that,
which he says himself.
Yeah, and you think, well, 1-1, job done, let's hold on.
But then, hang on, this is the perilous nature of goalkeepers, isn't it? Because we are still talking about a very, very good goalkeeper, one of the world's best, doing something like that, which is more akin to me playing in goal.
Yeah, I mean, you can only, again, to draw a parallel with Ryan Bennett, it can only be a lack of concentration, because I think the stats were, I think Man City had about 73% possession, so he's pretty much a virtual spectator. Yes, he made a good stop, although it was pretty much straight at him from Jarvis in the first half. And then up to that point, obviously then subsequently made a very good save from Olsen when carnage ensued. But for 83 minutes, wasn't it, he had one bit of work to do. So you can only put it down to a lapse in concentration, because he is a very good keeper. Yeah, you're right.
He did have one save to make in the first half. I mean, arguably Man City had a lot of territory in possession. Norwich probably had as good a chance, certainly, as Wilfred Bonny did in the first half. Matt Jarvis put through by Robbie Brady from his new berth on the right wing. Matt Jarvis hit it sort of directly above Joe Hart. It was a reasonable enough tip over that he had to do, but I couldn't help thinking he maybe didn't quite make the most of the chance, Matt Jarvis. If he'd put it low and to the side, it would have been a lot harder for Joe Hart to get there, but I suppose that's with the hindsight and replays.
Yeah, missed that one, so...
Oh, hey. Bad?
Yeah, did he take on his right? I think he did, didn't he?
He did.
You obviously contrast with, well, A, the fact he plays on the left, and that goal he thumped in against West Brom in the League Cup. Clearly, his left is his stronger, but so there was almost an element of just guiding it on target rather than actually putting his foot through it. So if it had been on the other flank, I think it might have been a different outcome.
That's a great point, then. I'll take that, absolutely, because I find nothing worse than a player ignoring their other foot if it's the one they should be going with, because you should be able to kick a ball with both feet if you're a Premier League footballer. Unless you're Wales, of course, who doesn't need a right foot. Okay, so the final minute. Well, 88th minute, wasn't it, when calamity part two ensued, this time the second time in the Norwich box, I suppose. You have seen this one, haven't you, Pete?
I have seen this one. I still can't work it out, what's going on with Ruddy and Tete. Like, I know Ruddy's probably screaming for the ball, but only do that if you're confident enough. If not, Tete just puts his foot through it. But I don't know what he's doing there. But the thing is, it's now... It's not a case of it's always the same person. It's pretty much every defender now has had one or two of those that have led to goals. So it's clearly in the system rather than individuals. And I think we've mentioned it before, like players on the posts. I don't know if that would have kept the header from the corner out, but it's...
Well, it's interesting, actually.
It's just happening too often now.
I had a look at the corner. I think it was the corner Otamendi scored from. Martin Olsen was actually on the near post, and he runs back towards the back post as the corner comes in, so he's then covering the far post, because Otamendi then puts in a brilliant header on the near post. But do you think it's the system thing, or is it just that the defenders are taking it in turns and they're struggling at this level to have a full 90 minutes of concentration?
Because it's all of them, it's not just one of them.
But they're taking it in turns.
Yeah.
And they have played, a lot of them have played a lot of Premier League football. The last time they were in the Premier League, they got relegated.
Yeah, but it's like the fans moaning because Whittaker makes one or two errors, he gets dropped, errors continue, and then Bennett comes in, same thing happens again. Martin will now miss the Swansea game. Sure, there'll be someone else that will, hopefully not, but a costly error, and it'll be again. So what is it if it's not the players? If it's all of them making mistakes, then what's going wrong at the back?
I'd see it, Pad.
It's a really difficult one, yeah, because as Pete's broken it down, it isn't one guy you can set up as a fall guy or a scapegoat, you know, much as, you know, that there's inevitably after the game there are one or two players who always seem to get stick for me over the course of the season. You know, you go back to the set piece malaise when they were knocking off, you know, Tete against Bournemouth, wasn't it? It's just a lack of concentration, and it does seem to be infecting multiple players. So for me, Alec Neil himself said, if the same players keep making the same mistakes, then you've got to change the players. So the reality is he hasn't got a lot of room for manoeuvre this side of the January window, but when January comes round, he might need to be active. But then that's a whole different ball game, because the reality is if they get more than two players in, I'll be amazed, because it's such a difficult trading window. So I think the answers have to come from within the existing personnel.
Yeah, it's a tricky one when different players are making different mistakes in turns, because I suppose it was Sebastian, well, I don't know if it was Sebastian Vasong necessarily, but he got beaten, didn't he, by Solomon Rondon against West Brom, and that was his turn, if you like. Yes, it's really tricky, and I suppose only through gaining some collective confidence and digging in a bit is how it's going to change in terms of on the pitch.
What I would say actually is now Malumbu, that man is vital for what lies ahead, I think, between now, certainly in January, when he can then go and potentially change it. Because I think with him now alongside Tete, we've seen it, 70 minutes there, they offer a bit more protection to the back four. Now we're not saying we want to go back to the Houghton era of where it was literally parking the bus all the time, but they were a hell of a lot more solid. And if you're a lot more solid in games, you're not going to concede as many. That gives you a bit more confidence, because you're going to go into games with a base of knowing, well, look, we're going to be pretty tight here today, so we might only need a goal or two at the other end. And scoring, it hasn't seemed to be an issue so far. So if you've only got to go into a game with the mindset of, we've only got to score one or two here, and we can fairly confident we're going to get a positive result, there's a world of difference between that and as they are at the minute, shipping, is it two every game? I think the average, how many times are you going to come off the park in the Premier League getting a positive result when you're shipping two goals, irrespective of where those goals are coming from or who's to blame? So I think Malumbu now is absolutely key, him and Tete locking it down there a little bit more in front of the back four. It just affords more protection. So A, they need to stay fit, and B, certainly Tate needs to steer clear of the referee, right?
Spot on. I mean, Russ's ban makes sure that Alec Neil doesn't have a tricky selection dilemma for Swansea, because it would have been interesting who'd have put where, really, if Russ had been available. I feel we've kind of skipped over the John Reddy issue a little bit, because he did come out, and as you said, it was almost a decision then to come out, and Alex Tetti maybe saw his goalkeeper coming and he's like, right, you're going to need to get there. So that's why he then didn't clear it. John never really looked like getting there, because, and ultimately I don't understand why he didn't just catch the crossing. I don't know if it was deflected or what happened. I mean, he'll know all about the errors that happened, and also I still think the penalty was quite savable. His left foot seemed to slip, so he sort of went down without going across. I think if he'd have gone across, he'd have saved it.
He doesn't seem to make up that much ground. I don't know if there's a picture in... I've seen a picture on our system of him looking like he's saving it. He's going the right way. He's the right height. And it's, I think you said he slipped.
He slips, and so he can't push off, basically. Yeah. So he ends up sort of... His leg goes sort of to the side, and he ends up sort of coming down. I mean, the penalty was quite... It was savable, definitely.
Well, there's a colleague of ours who noted that in the Penkin preview that the head-to-head of Joe Hart and John Ruddy, there's only 1 inch difference, but 3 stone difference as well. But...
Wait, what are you saying, Pete?
Maybe he needs to be a bit lighter, but then again, Neville Southall was hardly a athletic type, was he? Or Kevin Pressman?
Kevin Pressman. I'm sure John, if he's listening, will appreciate that.
Does John get down well for a big man? That's the question.
I think he did struggle with Wijnaldum's header at Newcastle.
It does look like that penalty was savable, but he just doesn't seem to get across the goal.
Well, I think it was his footing, really. That was the issue with that. I mean, that happens, just like Wes slipped for his penalty at Goodison Park. Question is now, of course, Paddy, as everyone is talking about, is what happens next? Because now you've got Swansea. I think there are fans who want Declan Rudd to come in. There are fans who, I'm sure, want John Rodie to stay in position too. Clearly, there's only one man whose opinion counts.
You're asking the wrong man then.
No, not you.
keep him in for now. I really think that opens up a can of worms if you pull him out the side, both for him personally and for the team as well. You know, and as you've rightly alluded to, there's going to be changes again in front of him across the back line this weekend. Why add to that by taking the keeper out? You know, and as we've tried to break it down, yes, okay, yeah, he's heavily at fault for what turned out to be the winning goal. And as I asked Alec Neil after the game as well, it's not the first time. You know, West Ham, clearly he was at fault there that day for the second equaliser. But he's not the only one. So, you know, for me, he has been an excellent goalkeeper. He still is an excellent goalkeeper. He's having a rough trot at the minute. But it can't be easy playing in front of that back line because, you know, they're not making life easy for him, are they? So it's almost one leads to the other. You know, if the lads in front of him are a lot more secure, then I'm sure he'd feel a lot more confident about, you know, his general game and coming for balls and commanding his area and vice versa. The fact that it looks like he's got a rick in him, that can't be doing a lot for the boys in front of him. So it's a vicious cycle. But no, for this weekend I'd keep him in, definitely. But yeah, no, and Alec Neil himself has said Declan Rudd has done everything he could have done in those League Cup games. He was excellent, really, you know, his shot stopping ability. But it's still a big ask, I think, to take John Ruddy out and put him in for me.
It's a big step, it's a big call. How long a call do you make it for? Because after Swansea, Norwich have got a trip to Chelsea and then Arsenal. You don't tend to dip goalkeepers in and out of game, one and off games, unless you're Manchester City. Likewise, I suppose the world doesn't end if he does make the change. Pete, what do you feel?
I think goalkeeper is the most difficult one to change, isn't it? Because you are the only one on the field. Like, if someone's having a bad game in defence, there's four of you, it's not going to look so stand out so much. Ruddy's coming up to 200 games for Norwich, he's established. It's like you say, what does that do to him if he's dropped? And then what if Declan Rudd comes in and has a shocker? Is it, and, oh right, so we need a new keeper in January.
I'll keep
him in for now.
Fans do have a tendency to like what's not on the pitch in front of them.
Well, yeah, it's David Fox became messy by the time he left Norwich, didn't he? So no, it's not the right time for him. It's from what I can tell, by I think Jerome said that in his post-match interview that he's got every confidence in him and he's been magnificent for them, and he has. So it's just that of all things goalkeepers, their mistakes get highlighted a lot more than anyone else. Just lose a bit of weight.
Oh wow, okay. So there was a late penalty, very late penalty. It was the last kick of the game. Basically, Robbie Brady was dead on his feet but just stayed up long enough to bring down Raheem Sterling didn't bring down Raheem Sterling, as I said in the live coverage, which some people picked up on. I don't know how they picked up. Some thought I was just being clever because they felt he dived.
Yeah, it's Vardy that brings down Vardy. I don't know if Sterling does it.
Vardy does bring down Vardy, but it was definitely Brady that brought down Sterling. Alexander Kolarov skewed the penalty wide. That, as in the words of Jonathan Pearce, summed up Manchester City's afternoon. So there we go. I thought it was a little bit harsh. And Martin Olsen could have equalised again. Deflected shot, brilliant save from Joe Hart to deflect, to react to it. That said, it was still, you know, within his reachable distance.
Yes.
Thanks, Pat. So let's hear, shall we, from Alec Neil and Cameron Jerome.
Yeah, it was a tough game. You know, obviously, we had a game plan. We stuck to it, and I thought we executed it almost perfectly. But, you know, same sort of thing. We're repeating ourselves after games. You know, we're coming off the pitch disappointed, not having getting anything from the game. And, you know, our performance probably deserves otherwise.
Ultimately, people have got to do their jobs. And if they don't, then it costs you games. And it's been the story of the last few weeks. It's not as if it's anything new. Because I think the set-up and how we've been performing, we've been creating chances. And today we set out completely differently to frustrate Manchester City. And the easiest thing to do is just set your team up defensively. You know, as a coach, it's relatively simple. It's not difficult. But we did it extremely efficiently. I thought we were really good at it. Probably, arguably, the two best chances of the first half. You know, Matt Jarvis's shot, which keeper makes a good save. Alex Tettey's opportunity for a corner, free at the back post. And I thought we limited Manchester City to no real opportunities that you would say they should have scored from, which was good. But then, certainly when you come away to these type of places, if you're going to get beat, you want it to be by a bit of quality for the opposition, you know, where you can hold your hands up and say that's just something a bit special. But today it wasn't. You know, it was basically Marker not marking his man for a corner, gets a free header, scores a goal, and then we push more men forward, change the system to go and try and get ourselves into the match with 10 minutes to go, get a slice of fortune, and manage to take advantage of it. But once you take advantage of that with 5 minutes to go, you've got to take full advantage of that. You know, we get back into our old system, hard to beat, hard to play against, and a basic ball comes into our box, we don't clear it, we spill it, we try to repair it, it doesn't work, and it ends up in the back of the net and we've got a man sent off. You know, and there's not much that you can say or do about that. That's just basics of the game that you've got to do right as a pro at this level.
We're well aware of what we've got in our dressing room and how well we can play, and you know, obviously the manager decided to go with a different shape today, and having watched, you know, clips of them and seeing how good they are at home and especially going through the middle, you know, we thought, you know, we would nullify that and force them wide, and I thought, you know, the boys at the back defended magnificently, and the full-backs defended even better, you know, trying to stop the crosses, you know, Navas and De Bruyne. I thought those two was quite quiet, and again myself and obviously the two boys in midfield making sure Toure and Fernandinho wasn't coming through the middle of them, and you know, obviously myself up front, you know, it was a tough shift for everyone, but you know, obviously we was so close to getting a result, but you know, so far,
yeah, obviously Joe Hart spells that one when we get a bit of fortune, we take advantage of it, and then the second one, obviously the ball comes out, we don't clear it, John tries to collect it, spells it, and it ends up becoming a penalty for us. So yeah, it's, there's not much to be said about it. What do you say? You know, he's fully aware of the situation. So
yeah, I mean, obviously it's just how you react and pick yourself up from this disappointment. You know, I thought we reacted well today from last week's disappointment, and you know, we're well aware of how big the game is next Saturday against Swansea and the importance and the impetus, will be honest, to take the game to them, especially being at home, and you know, they're not in the best form as well. So you know, the game up, we're positive we can get a positive result from, and you know, we'll do our stuff in the week, and you know, we'll work hard, and we'll look forward to next week.
Anything anyone else wants to talk about in terms of Saturday's game? It's an unbelievable place to go to, isn't it, Pad? The Etihad Stadium and the complex now. And Manchester City will be Premier League champions, won't they, at the end of the season?
Them or Arsenal, yeah. I think Chelsea have left themselves too much to do. Man United are a bit of a basket case at the minute. One step forward, one step back. So they've certainly got the resources and the wealth. I mean, I think the Champions League, what happens in the next sort of series of games will be interesting from that point of view. You know, if one or the other get through and the other one doesn't, and then they've just got to focus on the league, I might tip the balance. But yeah, no, I mean, that was, for me, going back to the start, that is the frustration, as Pete said there. They've been whacking teams out of sight, and Norwich have gone there. And whether they've had an off day or whether Norwich were just very good tactically for large spells, massive missed opportunity, because let's be honest, a point there was not on anybody's compass really. So what that would have done going into what is now a game where they do have to get a win against Swansea would have been immeasurable.
Yeah, as someone at the ground, Man City guy, said that a lot of teams come here just to shut up shop and don't actually do it as well as Norwich did it on Saturday, so there's a little bit of consolation there, I suppose.
Well, that's encouraging for a manager who is pretty much, his ethos is all out attack, to actually get it right defensively. I remember the team lineup coming up on Twitter, and everyone was trying to work out, so what does that mean then? Is he going to play five at the back or three at the back, four? And is, I think we were confused, so Man City probably were as well.
Until me and Paddy obviously put out what the actual team was and explained it, and then some people still didn't quite believe what we were saying. And did Robbie Brady on the right?
It's interesting, isn't it, that you just wonder if being at home, whether Mulumbu and Tete are both going to play, or if he's going to favour both of those away from home. Mm-hmm. But at home, he's going to feel like he needs to go for it a bit more. Is he going to sacrifice one of those for an attacking midfield?
Yeah, it's going to be the big thing, isn't it? Come Swansea. I did think it was a good weekend for Alec Neil. It's been a couple of difficult weekends for him, I suppose. He's still learning, as we know. He's still young, but I think he'll take a lot from how his plan. You know, when he sits down today or tomorrow, he can at least look at how, you know, that wasn't the reason why it didn't go right. In fact, if anything, it was working really well.
That's an excellent point you make. Yeah, I mean, he never exudes any sort of lack of self-confidence or belief in his methods, but clearly after Newcastle, when he openly admitted he was a bit rash in taking Tete off as early as he did in that second half, but... And then West Brom, you know, Pulis, you know, the arch-pragmatist, he did a job on him at home, so... Yeah, he must go home and maybe in the confines of his own, you know, living room, whatever. Doubt, you know, have I done the right thing? Have I made the right choices? So yeah, no, I think it's a fair point you make there. The fact that through nothing that he did or didn't do, that game was nearly within their reach, and that would have just embellished his reputation if he got something there. So yeah, that could be a good positive moving forward.
Excellent. Take the positives. I'm now trying to visualise Alec Neil's living room. What would you be sitting down having a drink of? Do it, is it a little glass of red wine? No one cares.
tartan wallpaper,
Haggis, Rapsy Nesbit
on the box, bit of shortbread. What more do you need to know?
So there's me trying to be a bit classy, and we just descend into Scottish stereotypes, but you know, fair enough. So Swansea, must win, Pete.
Well, West Brom was a must win, so this is a definitely must win. So yes, nothing but 3 points. Wes back in. I don't want to see Johnny on the right wing.
No, that's fair enough. I'm not the big fan of that.
I'm a big fan of him, but not on right wing, because it just doesn't work, does it, for him or the team. I think Jerome, from what I saw, did well enough at Man City to stay in.
Well, it's depending if Mbakani is recovered from his virus or not. I would imagine if he's fit, he probably will come back in. They seem to be beating up the vending machine outside, so I don't know if they're having much success. Johnny Howson did kind of work with him on the right at Man City, because it was quite narrow and he got up in support well. But it doesn't matter how they approach it on Saturday, is it really, Paddy? It's literally, it's trying to enforce in them that they just have to win it at all costs.
And let's be honest, Carrow Road hasn't been very happy hunting ground from this season, so that's a factor for me now as well. You know, one win in five, Bournemouth, I think. They really have struggled to impose any... Well, that's probably a little bit harsh, because there was spells against Palace opening day, they were very good. Stoke, that was down to Butland. So they have shown they can, you know, they can be dominant at home, and I think that's what it will take. I think if you get into a passing game with this mob, then there's going to be a lot of frustration, because they're going to have the ball for long spells, and I think it's almost the trumpets is what Norwich need this weekend. They need to get the crowd behind them and hopefully get that breakthrough, which they didn't get against West Brom. But all I would caveat that by saying is Swansea are in a shocking run of form as well. So it's not like you've got a side here full of confidence. You know, they need a win as desperately as Norwich. So it could be quite a tense afternoon, I think.
Befetimbi Gomis?
One of the Lions celebration, is it?
I feel quite proud of myself. I called that as soon as the transfer window closed and he got his new contract, he wouldn't score another goal. It hasn't happened. Hopefully he won't now get one on Saturday, but they are.
You thought Sunderland would do well on Sunday, didn't you?
Well, no, I said they were doing well when they equalised at 2-2, and that, you know, Sam had got them organised and improved them, and he clearly had, because they were competitive for about 40 minutes. Ish. Yeah. 12, no, it was four probably minutes, yeah, four. 15 minutes out of push. Okay.
If we don't win this one, then you start to get rid of a gap, don't you? Win it, and there's that little block of teams all around those points, but lose it, and you're starting to look at those teams that are still on single figures. And someone said on the Pinker message board that his barometer is always 12 games. If you've got 12 points or less, then you're in for a bit of a nightmare, rather than the sort of bottom by Christmas and all that nonsense. That's how he judges it. So. Yeah,
well, they're not going to have more than 12 points after 12 games.
Has he still got Ashley Williams?
They do.
I don't rate him at all.
Well,
I don't know why. Everyone else does, but whenever he comes and plays against Norwich, he always has a bit of a shocker. So
he was at fault for one of the Arsenal goals, I think. I think he lost Ryan Bennett-esque. He lost Giroud, I think, on a corner. So let's hope that continues.
4-0 at Swansea as well.
When was that?
4 or 5. Can't remember. I left the stadium before the end of the game.
Five? Didn't they lose 3-0? But it was rubbish.
I'm sure, it was more than three.
It was the game where they decided to refund the punters who travelled.
Yeah,
that's three.
Was it? Felt like more.
It did feel like more. Absolutely. What, the Ki Sung Young? Is that?
I believe so.
Ki Sung Young's already labelled it must-win game for Swansea.
Brilliant. Must win for both teams. 0-0 then.
Always puts the pressure on. Goalless, yeah. Hurrah. First clean sheet.
Yes.
Get the pizzas in. All right, let's wrap this up. Thank you for your patience, everyone out there. Pete, Pat, thank you very much for your time. Usual stuff over the week, of course, at pinken.com and Mustard TV, Eastern Daily Press. You know the drills. And we'll have live coverage from Carrow Road on Saturday. Until then, keep fingers crossed. Bye for now.